Hi, everyone. Glad to be back with you. Very sorry I wasn't here last week, but if you aren't sure, this is the new Noise Cancelling Podcast. And I say new, we're episode 56. That's not really what we can call it anymore, is it? When you're over a year old, you can't really call it new. This is the podcast, if you haven't heard of it before, about tech. But is it? Because we also talk about other things. And I'll be honest, we don't talk about tech very well sometimes either. Now I'm babbling. Let's move on to who's on the show. Please help me out.
Hi, I'm Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
Hi, I'm Henry T. Casey, Senior Editor at Tom's Guide.
Hi, I'm Samuel Roberts, I'm the Senior Entertainment Editor at TechRadar.
And I'm going to do the same weird format we've seemed to have adopted. Hi, I'm Gareth, Global Editor-in-Chief of TechRadar. I don't know why we went down that very weird speed dating kind of start there, but it's nice to speak to you all. Everyone has obviously been on this podcast before, which is nice. Although Henry T. Casey, as we all know that the T stands for the, has obviously been on it. We have changed the format slightly. We've added in new, I might say, super fun section since then. So get ready for that fun. But how are you, Henry? It's good to speak to you.
I'm doing well. I'm happy to be back. And it's a busy week for streaming, which is one of the categories that I cover. So I'm happy to get the call up, if you will. Happy to be here.
And then you're placed cleverly on my video screen next to our senior entertainment editor at TechRadar, Samuel Roberts. How are you? Are you equally as excited about the streaming world?
Yes, very much so. I watched one of the big things that's going on this week last week, and I'm yet to watch the other big thing that's happening this week. But I will. That was incoherent, but one was the Snyder Cut and one was the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which will feature in this episode.
Well, both will feature in this episode, and the Snyder Cut is going to be the next topic straight away because, well, if you haven't heard about it before, the Snyder Cut is the basically much longer and revisited version of Justice League, the film by DC, and people have been pretty excited about it, haven't they, Henry?
It's been a slow boil for years, it feels like, ever since Joss Whedon took over for Zack Snyder and the movie came out with tonal dissonance, I guess you could say, how it just sort of felt like you could tell that section's from Joss Whedon, that section's from Zack Snyder, because they are two very different directors. If you've seen 300 and Marvel's The Avengers, you know what I'm talking about. These are different filmmakers. And nobody liked that. People love Zack Snyder. He has a following. And so over the years, people demanded release the Snyder Cut was the hashtag. And eventually, I believe it was last year, in a screening, a watch-along of Man of Steel, I believe, Zack Snyder's Superman movie. I think Zack Snyder made that movie. Those DC movies blend together. But at the end of that movie, Snyder revealed the Snyder Cut is real, and it was coming to HBO Max in 2021, and that is this Thursday of this week. So by the time you're hearing this, you'll be able to have watched, and many of you probably have. So 4 hours after you watch that movie, you'll be able to listen to this podcast.
But I mean, the 4 hours part is the clear part there. You know, it's a film, that's a movie that is 4 hours long, which is a really big time sink. So before we get into chatting about the Snyder Cut and all the things that it will bring, it's our big question. And this week it's going to be, what piece of tech do you want to see Zack Snyder remake? So what, come in there, get your basic template of how long, how big or how smart or how fast it should be, and just whack a load of extra shit on there as well. So I'm going to start with you, Cherie. What's your thinking?
Laptop batteries. Like, because since we, like, I think it's only apropos since this movie is 4 hours long and it's basically, I feel like, does one movie need to be 4 hours long? The answer is no, but this is what we're doing. So if he can do that for a movie, imagine what he can do for actual battery lifetime. So that is the answer I'm going with.
Okay. I mean, it's vague and wide. I like that. It's very similar to how we're perceiving this whole question. Henry, you going targeted or you're saying the same massive arena?
So I was going to say phone batteries, but that's too similar to Cherie's. So I'm going to jump to the other device that I've become obsessed with lately, webcams. I want to have a webcam that is as grandiose and as sharp and as good at slow motion, I guess you could say, as a Zack Snyder film, because these movies are... Oh, fun fact, the Snyder Cut is in 4:3. It's going to have black boxes on the left and right side of your... Yep.
Oh, no.
It was intended to be on the IMAX, and that's why.
Okay.
I thought it was for Instagram. I thought the trailers were cut to 4:3 for Instagram. Turns out I was wrong. But yeah, I want a webcam that's super sharp. I'm using a Logitech Stream Cam right now, and I like it a lot. But I want an iPhone camera built into a webcam. We've had rumors of a Microsoft Surface webcam coming soon. I want an Apple real webcam, external webcam, because I don't think they're going to make the bezels of their laptops any bigger or thicker. I don't believe that's in the near future. But I think that pros need, especially pros who are recording video at home, should not be trying to figure out ways to turn their cell phone into a webcam. People do that. It's a hack. But I want a webcam that you could make a Snyder film on.
Okay. Okay. I like it. Samuel, can you one up?
So I'm going to go with the Nintendo Switch, because again, kind of echoing the point about battery life, if Snyder's all about going longer, then the Switch's biggest problem is still its battery life, which is pretty limited. But also, because the guy loves slow motion, and there's a lot of it in Zack Snyder's Justice League, some kind of slow motion slider while you play your games might be good to, you know, let you kind of like re-strategize or whatever it might be in the game of your choice. So yeah, that's how I would put the essential Zack Snyder qualities into a tech product.
I could see that being also used for social sharing for videos and clips you make. You could make a clip, you could have a slow-mo button to make your big moment from Smash Bros. Or any other game. Animal Crossing doesn't need it, but like any other game moment, you could make it more grandiose with a little video editing trick.
Yeah, the big drawback, of course, would be that the screen would be presented in 4:3, thereby cutting off a lot of important information you need to play the games. But what are you going to do? You know, that's a sacrifice you make when Zack Snyder takes over Nintendo.
Okay, I like it. My one was going to be trainers, running shoes, sneakers, whatever you want to call them. Only reason because, like, I feel like I'm looking for something that where there hasn't been enough going on with it. People want more. And in a really boring chat, Nike makes these trainers which have got carbon plates in them that are making people break records all over the world. It's making everyone go faster. And people are genuinely, you know, wearing them for races around their hometown and setting PBs and going, oh, look how great I am. My training's going great. And it's causing this great schism in the way people are friends in the running community, which is lame, admittedly. But I was thinking, right, let's go the other way. I'm like, over the years, there's been loads of clever things put into trainers, and there was one that had adaptive springs based on computational need of how fast you put your foot down and stuff. And I'm like, let's go down that road. Let's get some trainers that make me super flipping fast just because they've got all the shit put into them. So I feel like Snyder could just make something that's not only helps me because they're just longer, but also just go faster, run higher. Just brilliant. That's what I want. I want something that's just going to give me superpowers, but on a very small level.
It's a good suggestion. Solid. Bizarre, but solid.
And I think Wonder Woman has those sneakers in the new movie because her powers seem a lot more like Superman's than her own in the Snyder Cut, which is a really weird tweak. It doesn't. When you've seen the Wonder Woman movies and you see her in this, you're like, huh, Snyder's vision is different.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing this, although how in my life now I'm going to block out 4 hours, I don't know. But maybe over the course of 3 to 6 weeks, I'll get through the whole thing. I feel like I'm going to give Henry the win there. Although I feel like you could have gone harder on what a webcam could do rather than just making it an iPhone sensor. But the idea of Snyder making our lives, which is all through webcams now, better, I'm on board with that. So that's good. Right, let's talk about the actual news. I feel like, you know, we've already got well into the Snyder Cut, but Sam, is there anything else you wanted to bring to the table that viewers should know before they inevitably get into this?
What, into the film itself?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I would suggest watching Batman vs. Superman again, Dawn of Justice from 2016, because this is, I mean, if you want to, I should make that very clear. You have to be into it. It's because this is very much a direct sequel. So in that film, spoiler alert for a film from 5 years ago, Superman died at the end. Batman, despite being playing a key part in that death, is now quite sad that Superman is gone and has decided to try and save the world in his absence, because alien space monsters are coming to Earth to fetch some MacGuffins. And yeah, only a group of superheroes can stop them.
They're magical, so, yeah. MacGuffins, too.
Oh, yep. No. If they're magical MacGuffins, why do you need Superman? Superman is like weak to magic.
Well, magic is not being used in a direct sense of the word here. I just mean that it's the mother boxes. And no, they don't shout Martha. But aww. At the same, having watched it, Snyder Cut, yeah, no, you need to, I think if you're not familiar with the end of that, at the very least, I think a quick read of the Wikipedia for Batman v Superman would be a good way to help yourself get ready, because Ben Affleck's character is Batman slash Bruce Wayne sort of spends the movie, at least, yeah, most of the movie in the state of mourning. And it's not really, I don't think that explained that well. I think Marvel typically does a better job of like contextualizing why its characters show up in a constant state of like sadness. WandaVision, for example, handled grief in a much better way. But yeah, watch or listen, read about that one movie first. It helps.
Yeah, it literally starts at the end of Batman vs. Superman. Like the very first scene is essentially the ending of that film, much in the same way that Batman vs. Superman starts with the end of Man of Steel. That's clearly a thing that Snyder is into doing.
Question I have for you. Was it foreshadowing in any way that like the first 3 minutes of this movie are one long groan?
I see what you're going for there, but like it was such a corrective to all I really remember about the theatrical release cut is that there is like a black banner with the Superman logo, and then a man in London knocks over some oranges, and that is supposed to indicate that the world has gone to hell without Superman. And I feel like Snyder was doing his best to get away from that as much as possible.
It's better, sure. And like you don't have that one weird moment where the kids are looking at the newsstand, if I remember correctly, at the start of the original version. I had forgotten that I'd seen the original Justice League. I repressed that memory until I was like getting ready to watch this movie. There are correctives, sure. But if people try to view this in a vacuum, I feel like they're going to be like, huh.
I can't breathe. Sorry. I didn't mean to derail the point so dramatically there. I was just imagining someone watching in a vacuum. They'd be dead. Cherie, Surface Pro 7 Plus. Lots of words. What about it?
The word is it's kind of more the same, but businessy?
Honestly, Cherie, I'm the editor-in-chief of a tech site. I've genuinely forgotten what's going on with the Surface Pro surfaces right now. Like, where does this fit in the world of somebody who hasn't looked at a laptop for 5 years? This isn't me, but I'm saying, like, if someone's coming in and haven't bought a laptop for a while, what is this? Why is it? Is it? Can it? Would it? Should it?
So basically, and we're actually talking about the Microsoft Surface Pro 7 Plus that we recently reviewed. We actually gave it 4 stars, so it's pretty swanky. Microsoft is targeting it at business users. It's got a really good display. It's got great performance. The big thing here is it's got a swappable SSD.
Spooky, apparently. Spooky.
But the battery life could be better. On our battery test, it lasted 8 hours and 49 minutes, which is okay. It'll get you through a work day. It's still rocking those thick bezels that we hate so much. And as usual, the pertinent accessories like the type cover that you actually need to use this thing as a laptop replacement are sold separately for an arm, a leg, maybe a newborn babe. So it's still holding on to a lot of design cues of the most recent surfaces, which for better or worse, I guess, there are a few more security features in there which should appeal to business users. If you're looking for a detachable and something lightweight and you don't want a HP Dragonfly Elite or Dell XPS or a MacBook Pro, this is a solid option. I just don't know if I don't know if I want to pay the money necessary for it, because with the type cover, this is $1,486. It's pricey for that, especially since you have to kick in the type board keyboard cover. So it's like,
I want to sort of side tangent this one. And when you said like it's got an average battery life, you know, like 8 hours, 8.5 hours, blah blah blah. And I feel like I don't know whether I'm just, you have those moments in life where it just sets a tone for the rest of it and everything's benchmarked against it. But I still hear 8.5 hours and think that's pretty good. That's In fact, that's very good for a battery on a laptop if you're using it straight for like 8.5 hours. And, you know, it's one of those things where the world moves on incrementally, and then people who are just buying laptops to buy a laptop are going, oh, okay, cool. You know, do you feel like 8.5 hours is actually just damn good and everything else on top of that is just window dressing if you're going to be using it for that much longer?
I would like 10 hours. I think 10 hours should be the average for any, especially a tablet. Laptops, I guess I'd be a little bit, no, actually 10 hours. 10 hours should be the baseline. Like you want to, like, I imagine that that will cover your workday and a commute.
Okay.
It's an hour plus, I think, better than the previous Surface Pro 7, the regular one, the not business one. That was just 730, I think, on battery life. So that's, it's an upgrade for Microsoft. But I think, as somebody who also reviews laptops, the big issue right here is that, like, the rest of the world is jumping, leapfrogging over the Surface when it comes to battery life. The MacBook Air, for that 14 hours and 40, if I remember correctly, it was, I reviewed it. I should not have lost that. Yeah, 14 hours and 41 minutes when you're seeing that from Apple. Admittedly, that's just a laptop. It's not a 2-in-1. It's a little more confined. But, like, it's, they're both thick-ish, similarly thick machines. It's not like, I don't know, I would love to not charge my computer every day if I don't have to. Like, wouldn't you love to forget to charge your phone at night and not have that be the end of the world when you wake up in the morning?
Yeah, maybe. But I don't feel like it's central. And I feel like a laptop even more so. Like a phone is always moving around with you. You're not going to have it around a charger. I feel like laptops, they spend more time docked than others. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe Samuel's like, yeah, I use mine for 3 days straight before I even think about going near a wall plug.
I've only ever had like real cheapo kind of Windows laptops. So yeah, when they last for like more than 3 hours when I'm covering,
see,
a conference,
this is what I'm talking about.
I'm like, wow. I mean, these are like, you know, £350, £400 kind of laptops in the UK. So yeah, when I got given like an iMac, like to use for work, I was amazed that it was the end of the day and it was still running. Like Gareth says, it might just be an age thing.
Could be, but either way, I love it. I'm glad that someone's on board and understands what I'm talking about. Cherie, why is Google in trouble for being secret?
Because they are not really being secret, according to this lawsuit. So currently, Google is being sued to the tune of $5 billion dollars, because incognito mode, the mode that we all use to go look up those naughty terms that we would never ever want our parents, work associates, reference priest, or whoever you who you want to think you're living a respectable normal life to find, it's
turning... can I just say on this point, like, I remember the advert for incognito mode, I think it was Google on Chrome, I'm pretty sure it was, where there's a chap, he's there, he's buying some presents for his wife. And he's like, he's going like, and if you're looking for that gift and you don't want them to find out, incognito mode is perfect for that. And she comes in and he shuts his laptop, goes, oh, hello, darling. And I keep thinking, like, you should probably leave the laptop open because she thinks you're looking at porn with that reaction. Like, she's assuming you're doing naughty stuff. So I would probably have left it up with a nice gift that you're going to give her because you're going to be in trouble.
Also, don't kink shame Google. What the hell? You know what I mean? Like, respect people's rights to like what they like.
Well, but also, more people need to know about incognito mode, because I don't know if everybody stumbled across somebody else's browsing history that somebody didn't know about incognito mode, because that's no fun.
Yeah. I mean, it is fun. I mean, I think it's fun, but I also believe in chaos.
We're not talking about that story, Cherie. We both know the story we're talking about. We're not talking about that in a podcast.
But in broad terms, I want to know.
We will talk about it offline. But okay. Anyway.
If we have a new Patreon, we'll do that as our extra content. Something like that.
We have a Patreon for extra episodes?
Well, we might need to have one. Yeah, just specifically for this. $1,100 just to hear this one story that may be shit. There you are. We'll find out. That could be our moneymaker. Anyway, sorry, Cherie, carry on. Why is Google being sued?
Google is being sued because those secrets that you want to be kept secret are not being kept so secret, and Google might be tracking you, and that is not what incognito mode is for. However, it does say that incognito mode does not protect your searches from all types of tracking, just most. Like, it's not like, so we'll see how this lawsuit ends up. Google has been trying to stop it, and they have failed thus far. So who knows how this is going to look? But keep in mind, if you really want to keep your searches, your whatever you're searching, be it gifts for the spouse or whatever you want to do with yourself in your own time, I'm not judging type of stuff, you might want to get a VPN to run that through so your IP your IPS doesn't get tracked. And fap away, folks. Just be wise about it.
Or as what you could say, with the VPN, you can IP freely.
Words I never thought I'd hear while working at this company.
Yeah, anyway, I feel like we should do a sojourn down, especially based on that, a sojourn down Henry's historical memory lanes. We're going to go back to the Gadget Hall of Fame. Now, Henry, this is a new section that has come in since you've been last on the podcast. It's very simple. Either tell us your first ever gadget or the gadget that's had the most effect on your life, and we'll decide whether it should either go into the Gadget Hall of Fame or sit in the cupboard where we put Matt Swider's Tech Radar headphones, because I hate them.
I love to agree with somebody. I haven't powered this on, but what I'm holding up to the webcam, which they can't see because this is an audio format.
Oh my God, is that got spikes on it? Is that gonna...
This is the iPhone 3S. It was my first ever iPhone.
Wait, iPhone 3, there's no such thing. 3GS or 3G?
This is the iPhone 3GS. And so this is the first iPhone I ever got, which for me was the moment where everything sort of started to become carry it with you when you're not even thinking about carrying it with you. Like, okay, a laptop made life in college portable, but this was what made... not just your music on your iPhone. This one, you could check your email from anywhere. The iPhone would go on to letting me order a PS5. I was successful on my phone when I ordered it. Like the iPhone and the iPhone 3GS, I'm holding my hand. To me, just it has a really great design. Unfortunately, it's not the same flat edge design introduced in the iPhone 4, which is what I sort of wanted to nominate, but Gareth's wording of it, of a particular device of your own life, made me think, well, I've got this one prop right here. Don't call me Carrot Top, but I've got a prop. and it has a really good grip to it. The screen tapers down, the bezel tapers down, and it has a very good curve to it. It just has a really good hand feel. And while Cherie, I know, loves bigger and bigger phones that aren't exactly designed for ergonomics, and while the new iPhone and it matches the new iPad Pro and will probably match the new MacBooks has the flat edge design, I just really love the way this is designed. And I've held on to it forever because it just feels like the start of something, even though it wasn't the first of its kind. It was when I sort of this was right around the time that I started a tech and pop culture column at my college newspaper. This is just a part. This is a moment in time for me when technology became even more important to everyday life, and it let me do everything everywhere. And that only became a pro and a con over time, because what's a work life balance?
Okay, right. So I love how passionate you are about this. Now, for me, critically, the real inflection point was the iPhone 4. You know, the next one along, where you said you talked about the industrial design and et cetera, et cetera. But the key thing here is, what did you upgrade from? Where were you coming from that got you onto this device? What made
random
it so
special? Nokia four-digit phone.
Four-digit?
One of those, like, Nokia 57, whatever. It has the name of, like, a graphics card, basically. Like, it doesn't really have a... I never got a Razer. I wanted to have a Razer, but, like, I was a I had a phone that had Snake on it. And that was what it was.
Because you're a legend.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I just dated myself here. Because in the pandemic, you can only date yourself. You cannot. I moved over from the old flip phones or candy bar phones, as they were called, to this. And that was the sea change for me, because I wasn't a BlackBerry person. I worked with those people, but like it was, I didn't need the big keyboard. I was trudging along with the T9, which again just felt like, oh, I didn't know how good it was on the other side, and a software keyboard was just like, ooh, all the options, all the emails.
So was there a point, was this one where you just had to, you could afford to get a better phone, or you'd been waiting for the iPhone to get better? Which one was it?
It was a little bit of both, but mostly about I was able to afford it. I had jobs in college. This came out in 2009, so it was a very important device to me. It was just like I was sort of becoming more of an adult, and like it was just a part of the procedure, my sort of origin story as a tech journalist.
Yeah, for me as well, it was quite similar. I reviewed, that's like the second iPhone I reviewed, and it's when it started, like I said, it started to become a bit more app story. Things are making better. The camera wasn't truly shit. You know, it was one of those things we started to wonder, you know, it was starting to emerge from hipster land, where you had an iPhone just because you had an iPhone, to something that was actually quite good. So, yeah.
I just remembered why I called it because there was the iPhone and then the iPhone 3G.
Yeah.
And then the iPhone 3GS. So that's why I was remembering it as the second iPhone in a way. But yeah, sorry about that.
It's quite all right. More than forgiven. But Cherie, quick question. Should it go into the Gadget Hall of Fame?
I think so. Like, I mean, it's like...
You say yes to anything, actually. As I asked you that, you're going to say yes no matter what.
I am going to say yes, because every piece of tech that we've seen has gotten us to where we are, good, bad, or ugly. So I don't think that there are any rejects for...
Oh, come on. That's no fun.
Well, if it was the iPhone that had trouble making phone calls...
Yeah.
This is an iPhone that didn't have its own, like, giant micro disaster. This isn't... the 4 was known primarily at first for you're holding it wrong, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't really have the same sort of controversy.
And Samuel, you got the casting vote here.
I think that Henry made a really nice case for it, and I would feel like a monster to... deny him the opportunity to get into the Hall of Fame. I think, very sincere case I think you put forward there, and I take no fault with it.
Right, okay, so we've got another news story just to chat about before we get to the, I'm going to be honest, very underprepared news blast from me. But Henry, you brought this to the table. Project X at Apple. What is it? What do we know about it?
We know about it because of it's sort of a story within a story here, because Apple is suing a former employee for leaking details, allegedly. We have to say allegedly because this is a podcast and we live in a society. But Apple sues a former employee for allegedly leaking stories about a tech product referred to as Project X, which now is believed to have known to either be the Apple Glass augmented glasses or AirPods Max. And when... Okay, Apple's a company that's obsessed with its own secrecy. It's like, if you talk about you're working with Apple on a project, you're not going to be working with Apple on that project for much longer if you pre-announce that you're collaborating with Apple before Apple says it. But like, Apple is suing a former employee over an undisclosed, I believe, amount of money. And it's like, you're not just going to fire people. It's Apple's really showing a hard line about trying to show its current employees. If we can ever prove that you tried to steal something, leak intellectual property as opposed to early product news, you're going to get you're going to have some trouble here. The employee's name was Simon Lancaster. He was the former materials lead at Apple, and he had been accused of accessing data outside of his job scope and then selling said data to a media outlet.
Not necessarily selling, but in terms of using it for information for leverage for later on. But yeah, the actual action says that Apple is seeking to bring this action to stop the misappropriation of trade secrets, or Apple's trade secrets, by its former employee, Simon Lancaster. Now, in terms of, you know, Apple would obviously say it wants to protect its own IP, and it's not fair that other people can go out and take it away. And if you read through the court document, there's some stuff around being, he's in the wrong meetings, he wandered into meetings he wasn't supposed to be into, they told him to go away, and then still it was too late by that point. But what is interesting is within this, there's mention of Project X, what that was going to be, and one of the meetings that was attended was because he knew it was going to be in there, and he was instructed that he should not attend that meeting. But I'm more interested about Project X anyway. Like, what could it be? You know, what's it going to be? What's it happening? Apple Insider is speculating that it could be, obviously, multiple things. But, you know, what do you think it could be, Henry, what's your first thought this could be from Apple?
My first thought, if it's really something worth suing over, if it's really something that big, it's whatever the car thing is. Like, I am...
Interesting.
Like, it's... That seems... Like, the glasses, to me, that does seem like Tim Cook's, like... He keeps talking about AR. Tim Cook talks about AR like he's actually working in an AR startup. Because nobody talks about AR unless they're working in an AR startup. But, like... He really cares about it, and it seems like that's the company's going to like bridge the Apple Watch and the phone into what the AR glasses is. But at the same time, to me, it just seems like one of those two big projects, but I mostly lean towards the car because I don't know. It just, that sort of seems like something Apple's even more protective over. And they really like the fact that we've heard about the Apple car for so long with Apple not giving any real signs. Like, Tim Cook is just sort of like pointing, he's not shooting up a bat signal to jump back a little bit to talk about the car, but he is purposely leaking out the company's interest in AR. I think anything that we know about a car, even as far, because we're extremely far out, that seems like something that Apple would be more angry and more litigious about.
Okay. I mean, I feel like the car is one of those ones that they have talked about it, but they haven't seemed to settle on what it's going to be. Other car brands have come out and said, yeah, we're not talking to Apple about that. And it always seems to be like, but someone is, but it's not us. So it's that, I don't know if that one's big enough either. It's a, I don't know. I just like the idea that there's, even though we know every single brand, there's something like Project X multiple times cooking away. It's just fun that they have these kind of different names for these things. And we're all speculating what it could be. All right, let's go into the news blast, which I've been trying to delay as much as possible so I can try and read half the things that I need to actually be doing because I am underprepared. So I'm going to have to just hope for the best in this one and just go for it. But who knows? This is going to be quite a tricky one, if I'm honest.
All right. So. Let me pull up my stopwatch. And Gareth, while I pull it up, you want to explain what the news blast is?
I was too busy enjoying a musical interlude. No, I was too busy trying to work out what I'm going to say. So the news blast is 60 seconds where the news blaster has to give you, the listener, as much information as they can in that time. So how many stories can we force into your ears in those 60 seconds? The only two rules are you cannot... I can't remember both the rules. You cannot read from a script and you must give the gist of the whole story as best you can. So you can be questioned on whether you really have given the gist, and you can be questioned about whether you've read this out from a script, Matt Swider, circa 3 episodes ago. So never going to let it go. Never going to let it go. Never going to let it go.
I see.
It's because it was so disrespectful afterwards when I told him what he'd done wrong, because I knew he'd made a mistake and he refused to absolve himself of the issue and do it again.
Well, now that he's a legend on Twitter for the PS5, he doesn't have to obey the rules, does he?
Yeah, it's just creating a monster. Anyway, right, I'm as ready as I'm ever going to be.
All right, I'm going to count you down. And 3, 2, 1, go.
One of the best Nintendo Switch games, Octopath Traveler, is coming to Xbox Game Pass. BMW has got a new AI internal iDrive thing that gives it a sort of face, but it's not, it's bubbles. Undertale is coming to Xbox Game Pass, which is an indie game that they've revealed is finally going to make it there from having been part of something else on PC. Fujifilm's got a little camera brother to the Fujifilm GFX100S, which is going to be more affordable. Yay! Dungeons & Dragons, a new game which is called Dungeons & Dragons Dark Alliance, is coming, and it's a remake of a video game from 2001. Nintendo Switch 2, is it coming next year? Who knows? Might be, but apparently, according to the report, it is. Future Game Show is coming, and there's going to be a new Lord of the Rings Gollum trailer being shown there, so do watch that. Batman, there may be a sequel to that, because the actor who plays Gordon, I think, has said that he's out for now. Twitter's going to go all in on security keys. Who cares? Lots of people, probably. AirPods 3 are going to be with a bit different design, more like AirPods Pro, but without the silicon bit at the top. Sony is getting rid of PS4 communities, or communities on PS4, and that's made people very sad. One of the big games... Ah, good, because I've run out of things then. I got back to the beginning again by accident. What'd I do?
I believe it was 11, if not 12.
Yeah. Get in. Considering I was worried to do 3, I'm pretty happy with that. There we go. Sammy, you're going to question me on something here.
I just thought your thing about Undertale was quite funny. It was definitely like from a man who doesn't know that much about computer games.
At all. I know nothing about that. And then what was worse, I realized I actually did read out the headline. I'm like, I've got to give more about it than this. And I'm like, It's on a PC originally. Cool.
Yeah. In the past, that's what you told me not to do, is to read out the headline.
You no, like, I did. I had the pages up for each of them. I got my section on each. I was going to focus in on to give me the hints on what I was going to be talking about. And then I accidentally just read out the headline. I was like, shit, can't do that. Going to have to go further.
Yeah. People who even play video games, not every one of them knows about Undertale. It's like a subculture within a subculture.
Yeah, it's an indie gem, and it's landing on the Xbox Series X and others on March 16th.
Just and it's going to have some extended content, some new content that nobody's ever seen. So you might want to give it a whirl. If you've already played it, go back. Hopefully, if you played through the wrong way the first time, maybe you can make up for your sins this time.
I think it's unfair to say I don't know much about it. I feel like if we got a quick second to talk about Undertale, I'd say, like, if you're saying, like, why is Undertale so superb, I would say it's like it takes all the best elements from, like, you know, this ever-evolving RPG genre, and it's like it weaves a world on top of it that's built on things like, you know, choice and consequence and compassion. But it's like it's charming, and it's got 16-bit style, and, you know, as a child, if you're sort of dropped in this underworld of filled with terrors, then you just got a whole host of monsters to face and take home. And isn't that what life is, really? How you face them, what choices you make, that defines our journey in life.
It does.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Vic Hood, who wrote that section in this new story, and I managed to script it out. Right, what are we on to next? Ah, it's the good bit. It's the good bit. It's either unpopular opinion, what's going on, quiz for people, I'm sorry, help me, or this week, it's can I expense this? Cherie, can you come up with a jingle for this right now?
Can I buy it? Can I purchase? Will the job pay me back if I do? Can I expense this?
genuinely brilliant. That was it had a narrative, it had uplifting tones, nearly a key change. It was lovely. Samuel, I'm big into what you're going to bring in this week. Tell us all about it.
So an unnamed colleague of ours on Tech Radar, Gareth, has purchased the Anbernic RG351P handheld, which is essentially like a little emulation device that can play old games. Now, emulation is a legally gray area. There are like legal ways to do it, but, you know, it's generally accepted that most people are not doing it legally. I can't speak for our colleague. I'm actually not sure in that case. Let's go with legally. He's doing it legally. So I think this is quite an interesting device, though, because my understanding is it plays like Game Boy Advance games, PlayStation 1 games, NES games, Mega Drive games, or Genesis every year in the US, and like a whole bunch of other stuff. And like, it's part of this wave of devices that, you know, they kind of like vary in terms of their functionality and sort of legal status, that kind of tap into, I think, like more of a sort of millennial kind of retro movement, where people are like hoarding sort of Game Boy era games. Stuff from the late 90s and early noughties is like kind of rocketing in value on eBay. And I thought it's worth mentioning here because it comes off the back of like the SNES Classic and other kind of like smaller sort of devices. I want one.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a difficult thing. Like, if we're going to talk about the world of ROMs, which, you know, this idea where there's just titles that you could find through nefarious means, or you could rip it from your own cartridge if you wanted to do that. Because downloading them from the web, that's not allowed. You can't do that, especially if you don't own the game itself. But some devices do allow you to rip and bring that game over. But even that is a bit difficult in some places, because, like, you know, in the UK, there's this annoying thing where you're allowed to create copies of things for fair use, but you're not allowed to break copy protection. So it's like, you can have some sweets, as many sweets as you want in this jar, but you can't open the jar. But you can have as many tweets as you want, but you can't open the jar. Just don't open don't open it, but you can have as many as you want, all as you want. And it's that kind of difficult thing there. So ROMs, if you rip them yourself, it's possible. And in the same way as if you own it already as a cartridge and you want to play on a different medium, it's possibly legally defensible. But it's a very, very gray area. And what you definitely shouldn't do is ever share them and be a repository for that, because that is definitely illegal. And there was a point, you know, where I used to think, well, is anyone going to really care? Because you can't play them any other way. No one's got a SNES, etc. But now every brand is bringing them back in some sort of retro form and can actually monetize them. You're going to get in trouble with that. So, but the idea of being able to play these old games is just amazing.
Mm. On the completely legal side, the Analog Pocket device, which is in like massive demand and hasn't released yet, is also can play Game Boy games and Game Boy Advance games like completely legally. And in this case, you're not even using ROMs. You just get the original cartridge, put it into this new piece of hardware, and it'll work. So this is bound to send the secondhand market for some of these older games skyrocketing. So I mentioned it here in our little show notes, but the Game Boy Advance actually turns 20 years old in 4 days from when we're recording this, on the 21st of March. And so, yeah, I mean, first of all, that was kind of frightening. 2 decades old, the Game Boy Advance. But
oh my God, yeah. it still feels futuristic to me. I'm like, no, I want the original Game Boy, not the Advance nonsense. But yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, but there is definitely a nostalgia factor for it. And Nintendo hasn't been very good at making these games available on its own system. So there's no reason why they couldn't really just offer a lot of the kind of classics that people want to play on the Nintendo Switch Online service, which already lets you play NES and SNES games, or SNES, as they say in the US. But Nintendo doesn't seem as into getting those games out there. And I sometimes think these devices become popular because companies aren't good enough at kind of filling the gap themselves. And it's kind of interesting.
That is exactly it. The companies are not good at filling this gap themselves. You know, there's so many things. It's why Spotify and Netflix and, you know, all these other places thrive, because there's so many people out there. Like, they don't want to be illegal. They don't want to rip and, you know, have to hack through and stuff. They just want to do the thing, you know. And that's why when Game of Thrones came out and it was time shifted and moved around and it was just legally pirated all over the place, it's like, well, people are going to do that because they just want to watch the thing. Like, it's what they want to do, the thing that you want them to do. You can't control them necessarily, so just make it available.
Yeah, it's a constant problem. Kind of annoying. But, you know, there's the nostalgia factor for these games, though, doesn't seem to be dissipating. You bought a Game Boy Advance SP, didn't you, Gareth, on eBay not so long ago?
Yeah, I bought it for a partner, but straight away I was like, yep, going to get that game, going to get that game, going to get that game. And I played it all on a lovely pink one.
Oh, well, that sounds very nice. But it was. Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's never been bigger, really, and there are loads of companies looking to cash in. But do it legally, I suppose, is the advice, as best you can.
Yes, exactly. Cherie, any thoughts?
I'm all about anything that will let you play your old games legally, of course. I think as we go further in, when we see what I wish could happen is that there was a way to preserve multiplayer games when the companies finally decide, okay, we're not going to serve this anymore, we're going to turn off the server. I wish there was a way that if those folks want to still play, that they could have a little a little offshoot somewhere and they can go back and revisit it. I think that's going to be the next big thing on the market, finding a way to preserve and maintain those servers outside of the creators.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things, there are lots of pockets of the internet that get lost forever, and I think if you ever have something that's going to get shut down that you truly love, it's not that hard to build momentum for other people that love it and trying to get something put back together again and find a way for it to be reborn, either through someone who's clever and can develop something for you, or just forcing the company to rethink their actions. It's, you know, I'll say it's quite easy, but it's not impossible at all to make these things happen. So if you do love something, if you are angry about Sony shutting down PS4 communities, make a stink about it. Let them know, you know, get some friends on board, you know, have a barbecue and talk about it, you know, socially distance or whatever, you know, just let's make some things happen. I'm going to incite some very small revolution, very small and very unlikely to happen revolution. That's the goal today. Right, well, that is the end of this week's Noise Cancelling Podcast, episode 56, as the recording tells me. I am really bad at learning which one's which. But I have had a lot of fun today, especially, I feel like, you know, when you go into something really underprepared, whether it's an exam or a performance on stage or something, and you really haven't planned for it, and you get that kind of rush afterwards when it didn't go horrendously. Feeling like that right now, so thanks, everyone. Cherie, have you had a good day, and how can we hear from you?
You know I had a good day. You know I always have a good day on the podcast.
I want you to have bad days sometimes, so the good days mean something. You can't just be this flat plateau.
Like, why? But this makes me happy. Like, this starts off my day on Wednesdays.
Okay, fine. That's a nice way of saying it. I feel stupid now.
Like, dang, let me have my joy. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. And for everything, laptops, tablets, VR, AR, headphones, a little bit of standing desk, everything in between, definitely come to Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
I don't know if you shouted so loud your microphone clipped you out there. Well done. I like that. Henry the Casey.
Well, I had a great time today. I'm happy to be back on, and it was really great to actually have time to be social and engage with people after those 5 hours of watching both the Snyder Cut and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which we didn't get to discuss. But on Friday, it comes out, and get ready, because it's fun. I think people are going to enjoy it.
And Samuel, how about you?
Yeah, I had a great time, Gareth. I always do. And
you sound so sarcastic. I know you well enough to know you mean it, but it just sounds like you're so lying. Yeah, really great time. Thanks. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go now. Bye.
That's being British, I guess. But yeah, it's nonetheless a good time was had by all and me.
Henry, I didn't say how can people hear more from you if they wish to.
Forgot to do that. You can find me on the Twitter and Instagram machines at Henry T. Casey. But also, as should be obvious, the little website called tomsguide.com. I am producing articles for that site in a Jim Carrey.gif kind of way, just typing all the words out as possibly can. I'll have reviews of both Snyder Cut and Falcon Winter Soldier episode 1. And probably if we had a new Apple event in the near future, probably be covering that too. There's a lot going on these days. Almost to the point where I wish I could clone myself, but haven't gotten there yet.
Give it time, not too long. And Samuel, what about you? How can people find out more of your happy murmurings?
Yeah, I'm also going into a tunnel of Falcon the Winter Soldier over the next like 6 weeks. So you can find my work on techradar.com around that. And also I'm Samuel W. Roberts on Twitter if you want to see me complain about computer games being too expensive.
Well, they are. Come on. It used to be £30 back in my day, and now it's 50. Even though inflation means it's probably the same price, actually, thinking about it.
Oh, I forgot one thing. Sorry.
Henry.
Twitch.tv/HenryTKasey. I've been streaming a lot lately. I want to talk about it because I just said you'd rather talk about retro games and accessibility. Persona 4 Golden is a great game that Atlas has been really hard to find. It's a PS Vita game that's now on the PC, and the port was not that great, but I am streaming it every Saturday and Sunday. And you can find more at twitch.tv/HenryTKasey. I'm having fun. I've got a stream cam just to show people New York in case they miss it.
That is nice. Thank you for that. I have been and will continue to be, hopefully, Gareth T. Beavis. You can find me as Super Beav on as many socials as you want to try and Google me on. And obviously the better one is at Tech Radar on all the socials as well. And I mean, nearly all of them, I'll be honest. So you can go and find that one as well. And we do some lovely stuff. And as Henry T. Casey did highlight, Matt Swider is becoming a Twitter monster at the moment. So go up and see his lovely content. I mean, monster in a good way, in like a Lady Gaga style.
A monster.
Yeah, in like a good way. But do go over and check out what's going on there. So thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. We will speak to you and shove ourselves into your ears next week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.